singing. Others that will be. What a great job. Good job. And we certainly thank the Lord for your participation and the good job you did. And so I guess this right here is Evie, Monica, and page 380. All right. The two of you will turn to page 380. No, that was the notes at the end. I'm glad that, because I would not know what we done. Now I know we sung 380. And he's announced and introduced Evie and Monica to be able to sing. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking in the book of Jude tonight. In the book of Jude, as we look there, if you find the place, you're able to stand, we'll look in verse 11. In the book of Jude, verse number 11. Bible said, verse 11 there, woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain. Now, whatever the way of Cain is, you don't want to go that way. Because he's already told you, they've gone the way of Cain, and they've ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And they've perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart. We'll thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. And by the way, we bless the Lord for the good offering. I think it was $820, Brother Nolan. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Church. I sure appreciate it. It sure won't help. Love y'all. And, man, it is not deserved. Thank you.
Yeah. My word. If I'd have known that, if I'd have knew you was going to be that appreciative, I'd have stuck another $5 in there somewhere. No, thank you, Brother Nolan. Thank you. All right. All right, in the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, I want to preach a little while on this subject. I want to preach about three men that were religious and lost without God. And let me tell you right now, here's three men that I can promise you died without the Lord. These are people here that would say something about the Lord. They had a conversation, and not only that, they had an altercation with him. In fact is, whenever you begin to look into this Bible, he says, woe unto them. That's the wrath of God right there, because of their greed and because of their error. And they're going to perish in the gainsaying of Kor. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, that in the last days there's going to be a great departure from the faith. Wow, we're already witnessing that. We're already seeing that across the country. In the book of Genesis, don't lose your place there, but in Genesis in chapter 4, here's a very vital in part of it, because the first one that he mentions, Cain. Everybody knows how that Cain and Abel were brothers, and how that Adam and Eve had them, and as a result of that, they obviously learned something about religion, and yet somehow or another that Cain just didn't want to follow the word of the Lord. I'm sure that he heard the same lesson Abel did. Abel was a man that was a shepherd, and he brought the blood from one of the lambs that was in his flock, and because atonement, no doubt he was taught, was by the blood. Cain was a religious man. He didn't like the ugliness of the bloody religion that his brother Abel was involved in. In fact, what he wanted to do is, he felt like that's just way too negative. I need something that's a little more beautiful than that. And as a result, he came up with an alternate plan. Cain's the kind of person that thinks he's found a loophole in God's plan, and as long as you're sincere with it, God ought to have to accept it. I got news for you. God won't accept it, and it won't make any difference how much effort that you put into it. Here's a man that's self-righteous, and whatever he decided and whatever he chose, he thought that the Lord ought to accept it, but the Lord had nothing to do with that. I want to say to you that, if you will, that you and I sometime may come up with an idea that's contrary to the mind of God, and let me tell you, he's not going to go along with it. I don't care how much money you give. I don't care how often you've lived. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how benevolent that you are. If it's not according to the word of the Lord, you're going to be found to be a liar. And will not, God will not accept that contrary to the mind of God and the word of the Lord. Now look in Genesis 4, and I want you to notice there in about verse number 8, that's where Cain and Abel's talking. And of course, you realize that he's already showed he's angry with God for not accepting his offering. As a result of that, God's told him, if you did well, And all of that business wouldn't you be accepted? But as a result, sin lieth at your door, in verse 7. Now, Cain got out there and talking with Abel about it. Naturally, he didn't like Abel because God showed that he had favor toward Abel in his offering. And while they were out there in the field, you'll find that in verse number 8, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. And but that's pretty rough. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now I want you to watch the next passage there, verse 11. Now thou art cursed from the earth. And he said, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand? When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now here's a man right here that's got a curse put on him from God. Here's a man right here that the very farm, the ground that he tilled and planted and thought so much of, he said now, God said, just because of this curse, you're not going to be able to be a farmer anymore. Yeah. The ground's going to be against you. As a result of that, you're going to find out that there's some things that are going to take place here. And God, in verse number 13, Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment's greater than I can bear. He said, you've driven me out of the face of the earth. And he says, and I'll be hid, and I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond. You know what God calls us in 1 Peter chapter 2, about verse number 11? He didn't call you and I. He says, we're pilgrims and strangers. We're not fugitives and vagabonds. Here's a guy here, buddy, that's done past the point of no return. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that he goes ahead and cries out. See, Cain's a murderer. Cain's miserable, not only with himself, what he's done. Now he's about to be a marked man. And whenever you look into these passages here, you're going to find out that you can argue with your brother by the name of Abel. That's not going to change God. You can assault him. You can be a murderer like Cain was, but it's not going to change God. Now, in the lesson, you know the reason why Cain rose up in anger? Couldn't refute Abel. Couldn't refute him. Stay with the book, buddy. It won't matter how many people turn against it. Stay with the blessed word of the Lord. Now, here's a passage here that whenever you begin to look into it, is that you'll find out, is that in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, that whosoever shall slay Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, and lest any find in him should kill him. Now, let me tell you right now, Viz, there's another man that likes marks and wants to force people to take a mark called the Antichrist. Here's a mark that's put upon Cain. And let me say to you that, if you will, that in case you're wondering about what kind of mark and where it was and what it did and so forth and on, well, there's a passage over there in the book of Revelation. You don't have to lose your text, but you can look over in Revelation in chapter number 13 and look at something concerning the Antichrist. When you begin to look in Revelation chapter number 13, and about verse number 1, if I remember right, and as we look into the passage, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. We're talking about the Antichrist there. And the beast which I saw was looked like a leopard. And you know what a leopard's got? He's got spots. You know what color they are? Well, you can figure it out pretty quick what God's going to put on old Cain for his revelry and for his murderous attitude that he's got. And yet he's going to protect him. He's going to get him protected to where that through his life, if anybody were to touch him, that he's going to have to pay sevenfold. And the Bible said that his feet were like the bear and his mouth as the mouth of the lion. The dragon gave him power to be his seat and great authority. Now, notice, if you will, please, in the book of Jeremiah, over there in chapter number 13 in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13, about verse number 23. In the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, I'm glad that God's in the saving business, God's grace is sufficient for us, and that God has not only a special place for you and I, but our service will be the same way, and it don't make any difference if you're red and yellow, black or white. We're all precious in His sight when it comes down to the way of salvation and the grace of God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 13, about verse number 23, he said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? You know why he says that, don't you? Identifies with the Antichrist. And then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. You know, if you were to talk to the average person up and down the road, whether it be kin to you or not, were to ask them, hey, what do you think it takes to go to heaven? They're going to try to tell you, well, you ought to be good. You ought to do as right as you can. You ought to certainly, I don't know, you ought to be washed, you know, saturate your heart and your life with good works. Well, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. That's why that he asked the question. The Ethiopian cannot change the color of its skin. The leopard cannot get rid of its spots. And you and I, the rest of us, that are accustomed to doing evil, how in the name of God do you want God to do except what you do as way of good? Now see, that's a problem Cain had. He thought somehow or another, my offering's just as big, if not bigger. It's prettier. It's got something that I like. It's something that is just so positive to me. I can't understand anybody liking that negative blood sacrifice offering. Now, see, that was a problem with him. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, the very ground that he produced his religion out of failed him. And now here's a man that's going to be forced to leave the farm, leave the country, and have to go into the city. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you can find out something about him, something about his city, something about what happened. And the Bible says in verse number 25, whenever you begin to look into the lesson that we're talking about here tonight, is that in verse 25, chapter number 4 that we're looking at, is that here's the good idea that God's about to do for this man by the name of Cain. And notice, if you will, in verse number 25, and Adam knew his wife again, she bare a son, and called his name Seth. I can tell you what ends up happening is that there's a birth involved there, and it's a birth that came from God. And when you and I get washed by the blood and born into the family of God, make no mistake about it, it'll be a new birth created by God Himself. All right, notice if you will, please, over there in another passage that we're looking at, a fellow by the name of Balaam. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with it. You know, Balaam, he was for sale to the highest bidder. And, of course, you'll find that Balak, the king of Moab, he wanted to hire Balaam to put a curse on the people of God that were coming through his land. And as a result of that, that's what the era of Balaam was. He thought that he could make money off of his preaching. And as a result of it, he had kind of the idea, show me the money, and I'll give you the message you want to hear, and we'll get it down for you. And let me say to you that, if you will, that he wanted to curse the people of God, but he couldn't. And the reason that he couldn't is because that the Bible said that you can't curse whom God's already blessed. Well, what he did was is that he was racking his brain trying to figure out a way. He tried this place to curse him, tried that place to curse him. I guarantee you right now, sooner or later, you're going to find the devil's going to be messing with you. And he's going to try to get you tripped up with one way or one person or another. And what you have to end up doing, you have to realize that, oh, just because you and I wore out wrestling with him, he never tires. He'll come back for more. In the lesson that you're looking at, you'll read over there in the book of Numbers, and we'll not read there, but chapter number 22, and you'll find is that as a result of it, he knew that somehow or another, if he could just teach those Israelites how to mix and mingle with those Moabitish women, it make God mad at them, and he would judge them for it and slay many of them, and that's exactly what they did. That's a New Testament doctrine, in fact, over there in the book of Revelation. You'll find that whenever the lesson started out, the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the deeds of Balaam and Baalism finally became a doctrine that was deep-seated and rooted right there. I just want to say to you that I don't know about you, but I've noticed is that even though men like Balaam, in fact, there's a passage that I wanted you to be able to look at. Let me see if I can even find it hurriedly. Because over there in the book of, where was it? I wrote it down twice. Numbers, turn to Numbers chapter 31, about verse number 8. Now we're talking about religious men that died without the Lord. In the book of Numbers, there's a passage there that it'd be nice if we could look at. Chapter number 31. And I want you to see something about it. And I'll give you a title of a sermon that you may want to use one of these days. I heard a preacher using that years ago. And yeah, all right, Numbers 31, verse 8. Now the Bible said that, if you will, please, is that they've come out to avenge the children of Israel against the Midianites. And the Bible said in verse number 5, there's 12,000 of them that are armed for war. And as a result, Moses sent to them war, 1,000 of every tribe. Now, when you look in verse number 8, and the Bible said, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, or Evi, maybe it's that way, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian. Watch the rest of it. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Here's a good title for a sermon. Balaam died like the heathen died. You know, if you run with the wrong crowd, you live with the wrong crowd, sooner or later you're going to die with the wrong crowd. And you're not going to expect to go anywhere except where the wrong crowd's going, and that's what happened to old Balaam. Last but not least is over in our text that we were looking at. The last man was by the name of Korah. In the New Testament, spelled Kor, C-O-R-E, in the Old Testament with a K. You know, here's Korah's bunch. You read about it in Numbers chapter number 16. You can read the whole lesson. And as a result of that, you'll find out is that here's a man that somehow or another just believes that he ought to have the power. You read the lesson somewhere, and here's what they did. They rose up against the man of God called Moses and said, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. You're not the only one that knows about God and how to communicate with God. We've got just as much right to say as you've got. And God heard them. But it angered the Lord. God chose old Moses, buddy, to bring them out of Egyptian bondage. Let me tell you right now, is when they spoke against the anointed of the Lord like old Moses is that God went ahead and was going to slay them all. Moses makes intercession for them. As a result of that, God said, here's what I want you to do is I want you to have them come stand at the door of their tents. And boy, as a result of that, he's about to expose it, and he's about to expose them, and that great slaughter that's over there in the book of Numbers in chapter number 16 that took place when the earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and his bunch. Now, you know, if you were to read on the morrow after all of that business happened, is that they were like Baptistic folk. And in chapter number 16 of the book of Numbers and verse 41, in the passage there, here's what it says. But on the morrow, this is after that congregation had been swallowed up by the earth opening and the fire coming out and burning them and consuming them. 250 men that offered incense were slain. And notice, if you will, please, in verse 41, but on the morrow, after the congregation of Israel, children of Israel, murmured against Moses. You know, you'd have thought that they'd have had the fear of God and would have said nothing, but on the morrow, how easy do we forget it? And they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Why, Moses hadn't killed anybody. It's been the hand of God. Isn't that the way that it is? We see God's hand move, and then we want to get in a bone of contention with him. Blame it on him. You've killed the people of God. You mean the same ones that were murmuring against his anointing? Same ones that were complaining? Same ones that get in the picture? In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that I don't feel like that in this building that you're one of these three religious people that doesn't know the Lord. But then again, that's going to be between you and God. See what I'm talking about? Don't ever leave here and say, well, you know, as long as the preacher thinks I'm saved, it's all right. I'm not worried about what the preacher thinks. I'm worried about what God thinks. And that's what you'd better be worried about as well, see. I can tell you right now, it's good to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin. I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the soon coming again of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in closing, just remember, God's given us ground that we might till and that we might farm, but it ought not to become our idol. God's let us do other things in life, other different callings that we have, other different talents that we have. You know, there's some people that are able to just sit down and like electronics and computer stuff. Some of you are like that, gifted like that. Me, I have trouble just getting the thing turned on. Once I feel like that it's on, spastic and in a little bit of a hurry. And as a result, I turn it on. All right, it's not working. All right, I turn it now off. And so as a result of that, once it does, and well, you have to wait just a minute. You have to wait until this screen comes on to tell you about that screen right there. I remember Brother Phil going to try to teach me how to operate a little bit, you know. He said, that's pretty simplified. Now, first, what you're doing is you're going to take this button here, and when you turn that on, all right, now watch this. No, wait a minute, that wasn't the button there. This button right here, and what's going to happen is that when you get that, hang on a minute here, hold on a minute, wait, this button here, and I said, hey, let me show you a button I'm fixing to press. I'm sorry I asked. I mean, he was good. You're like you. You're good at that. Boom, 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 boom. Me? Not so much. Not so much. And as a result of that, you know, it's been a rough week. I've been working on income tax, IRS stuff. Isn't that fun? Do you like that? I'm going to tell you right now, is it just, I thought a time or two, is that it was going to just crater, boom, inside my head. I was sort of like, what's that guy that played Tommy Boy, but he was in a different one, and he was going to teach him how to read. And it was in that, he was going to discover America or something like that, and he climbed up that big tree, and he got that big egg from that eagle's nest. Anyhow, he's going to try to teach him, and he said, here's an A. The A is an A sound, and he got him to repeat it. And so anyhow, he said, now, the lowercase, enough, enough, do you want my brain to explode? Well, that's how I feel trying to operate a computer. These guys here, you know, they're always busy, you know, fighting this, blowing that up, running here, running that, and all that business there. Sometimes they'll hand it and want me to play around, and then they don't tell me, well, naturally I lost my turn quick. That's the way a lot of people are in the world that we're living in. They're losing their turn pretty quickly. You know why? They're like old Cain was. They've got it figured out. And if it's pretty to him, why wouldn't it be pretty to everybody else around him? That's what he thought. I'm glad to know that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. You know, all I ever wanted, my wife and I, all we ever wanted was is to see our family. I come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin and our church family, and to be able to help them along in life and to get saved and to grow in grace and love and knowledge of the Lord in accordance to the word of the Lord. And let me tell you right now, that's a rewarding thing right there. Cain missed out on that. Balaam missed out on that. Korah missed out on all that. I wonder tonight, are you going to miss out on it? I trust not. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon these words tonight. How good it is to be saved and to be in the family of God. My heart was thrilled watching these boys and girls sing, and learn how to lead singing, learn how to pray. Now I pray you build a hedge about their heart and their mind. Thank you for loving us while we run lovable in Jesus' name. Amen.